Email todaysor@rte.ie.
With all the talk of economic recovery, you might expect the thousands who emigrated for work and better opportunities to start returning home. But the numbers returning so far are small, a sign of an apparent reluctance in the diaspora to come back and make their lives here. Reporter Judith Crosby headed out to the Cock and Bull pub at Bondi Junction in Sydney. She did so for us the other night to seek out some Irish people and ask them why they're staying down under.
My name is Emma, I'm 24 and I'm just a bartender here in the Cock and Bull. For the last couple of years I've just been doing hospitality work, and that's my intention for the next few years to keep me through college here. I do want to stay, yeah, because I love it here. The weather, the people, it's just so laid back and it's just way more positive energy than there is at home. I don't know if I could stay away from my family forever. Like, if it's good here, I'm going to stay here as long as it is, and then if I crack up, I'll just leave.
My name's Aidan Kelly, I'm 26 now. I'm here now 6, nearly 7 years, and I usually work in the mines now, up in Queensland or WA. Just, the money's just phenomenal, like, compared to, you know, what I did at home was like bricklaying or concreting. Wages-wise, like, I could work in this job I have now for 2 years and be set up for life, whereas you go back to Ireland and you work in the same job and you're going nowhere, like, you know. It is hard, you work 3 weeks on, 1 week off, but in money terms and things after that, it's definitely worth it, you know. It's the weather as well, like, you know, and there's that many Irish here as well. You feel like you're not even away that far away half the time, you know. I like to live here, buy a house, have kids. You never know, when you could have kids and your missus Irish, you might want to go home again, but I can't see it anyway, to be honest.
Mikey Grugan, I've just been here a year now, and I'm thinking about, I've got my second year's visa, so I'll be definitely staying for another year and see how it goes after that. It's definitely a far better lifestyle and far better weather and everything over here. So, I mean, you can get the same jobs back home here. It's just salary. It's the wages never be as good. Like, you can progress a lot quicker, I think, over in this country than back home. If you don't do courses and all back home, you seem to be still stuck at the bottom. So here seems to be a lot handier for some reason.
Mate Mooney, I'm 24. I've been out here for 2 years. I've done 2 working holidays and now I'm on a student visa. I really like the weather, and you're just warm and people are happier. You're meeting people every day. If you have a day off, you can go to the beach or just anything you want to do. You're doing it in good weather. Nothing's stopping you. For me, it's not about the job because I'm more retail based. So I can get a retail job. It's better money here, but it's not the biggest thing for me. It's just more the whole lifestyle and the travel.
Barry Dunning, I've been here since December 2010. Because I don't have a mortgage here, it's possible on the wages I'm on to have a good standard of living. A standard of living that I would say for a lot of people is probably above what it was in Ireland, and certainly now with the years of recession we've had. There's lots of opportunities in Australia if you're willing to work hard. I work for a trade union over here, and it's a really great experience. There is those opportunities, and I would imagine in Ireland, just because of how many jobs were lost, it's just more difficult to progress, and lots of people who kept jobs would have been stuck at the same position. If you have a job out here, you're in the right place. There's great weather. You can work hard, and then you can enjoy yourself on the weekends and at the night times.
The views of some young Irish people there, gathered by Judith Crosby at the Cock and Bull pub at Bondi Junction in Sydney the other evening. For us, with me now, Marie-Claire McAleer, Senior Research and Policy Officer with the National Youth Council of Ireland. What's the problem? No cock and bull stories there. They all seem to be getting on well.
Good morning, Sean. Yes, I mean, certainly the voices of the young emigrants that we heard are getting on extremely well, very positive stories. And I think when we explored this issue 2 weeks ago at a conference, looking at the issue of return migration, we were hearing emigrants who said that life had been very good to them since they left Ireland. They certainly had career opportunities to progress in their career. They talked about opportunities that they wouldn't have had if they'd stayed in Ireland. That is one side of the picture. And I think I was on this programme last year talking about emigration and that it's extremely complex picture. There are others who haven't done so well, who suffer from immense homesickness, who would love to be back in Ireland. And we know that many left Ireland with a desire and strong intention to return home in the future. We know that from our research, and we know from a study done by the University College Cork last year, which said that 59% of young emigrants would like to return home in the future. So I think this is something that we need to explore. Why is it that our emigrants may not return? And certainly the recent figures from the CSO show that in the last year there's been a decline in the number of Irish nationals returning. And I think that this is the lowest figure since 1996.
And what are the numbers for people coming back?
We've seen a significant decline in the range of 11,000 Irish nationals in the last year up to April 2014. I think this presents a real question for us, because we're going to see the social and economic policy implications if these people don't return.
Yes, there are, like, there's I suppose there are several levels on which you can look at this.
Yes.
One, the individual stories themselves, but also what's left behind, the loss of the country,
well,
the input of all of these presumably really well educated, I think 50% of them who go abroad would have third level qualifications. There are communities that suffer. We know all the stories about GA teams that can't field the full 15 or whatever, and you get clubs merging. But what should be done to at least make it easier for people to come back?
Well, I spoke to many of them, and they inputted into our conference through the live stream, and they told me that first of all, what are the barriers to return? They identified many. They said the key determinants at present were poor infrastructure, precarious working conditions and poor salaries. You heard that this morning again. Lack of career opportunities and limited career progressions. They talked about the inability to have a career outside Dublin. Many of them said, you know, particularly those from rural Ireland, they said, you know, ultimately one lady said she'd like to return back to Donegal. She said she didn't mind working in Dublin for a period of time, but there was very limited opportunities for people in rural Ireland. She said only a select few can have a career, not just a job. They made a distinction between a job and a career. And she said that she would like to see government fostering more investment, and she said, particularly in the West. But also they talked about the prohibitive high cost of healthcare, costly health insurance. For those considering returning with children, they talked about challenges registering their children for school places from abroad. And they also talked about the high cost of childcare. They talked about the increase of cost of living, and they talked about the prevalence of high taxes.
Then, but what about the solutions? Are there particular things, like, would it be outlandish, or are you looking at the idea of trying to persuade the government maybe to provide some grant assistance or some incentives for people to come back?
That's absolutely one of the points that came up. We had ladies talking about the emotional and administrative challenges of returning to Ireland, and saying that some sort of government scheme to encourage, incentivise and support emigrants to return to Ireland in the future would be extremely welcome. We're talking about establishing a cross-departmental policy approach to this issue, which cuts right across housing and education, because that was another issue. People were concerned about coming back to Ireland, being able to secure housing.
Is this not something, though, that's best left to market forces? If the economy picks up, there's now talk it'll grow by 5% this year. Michael Lunan is speculating, not unreasonably, one would suggest, that we're going to have an average growth of 3% for the next 10 years. Effectively, the rising tide will provide the opportunity.
No, I don't believe that's the case. This time around, the question of return is really up in the air. The OECD, in a report last year, cautioned that we can't be complacent about automatic return of migrant workers. Young people are seeing that the opportunities here are very limited, and unless we put in place incentives and foster greater connection with them, I'm afraid we might lose them for good.
One thing Enda Kenny did in that reshuffle, he appointed a Minister of State with responsibility for the diaspora. Can that make much difference? Can Jimmy Dean make some contribution?
I think this is a very significant step. I think the minister provides an opportunity for the first time for the political system to respond in a practical manner. I think the minister actually opened our conference. He said for the first time he acknowledged the impact of youth emigration, and he said that he was committed to putting in place practical measures to actually address this and to try and attract people back.
We'll be watching that space, Marie-Claire.
Thank you very much
indeed for coming to studio. Marie-Claire McAleer there. She is Senior Research and Policy Officer with the National Youth Council of Ireland. Now it's just after 11 o'clock. Time to go over to the RTE Newsroom and Brian Jennings.